Hi everyone, good to see you. I'm Al, if you don't know me. And we're continuing this new series. We've just had 1 week so far. Beginning of the new year, we're this series called Only Human. And we're looking at all sorts of difficulties, I guess, that we face in life because we are human, because we are limited, because we are weak. And perhaps some of them you will relate to more than others. Hopefully you'll all know someone who perhaps you can be an encouragement to who's going through these things, even if you're not yourself. But actually, looking through the list and the things that, you know, last week, I can't cope. I was there, you know. I thought, this is a good one. This is a good one for me. And I'm sure that we all feel like that at times. But actually, it just makes a difference, doesn't it? To know, if you're a Christian, you know Jesus, the Son of God, who was God and man. He was human, but he was more than human. And when we put our trust in him, though we're only human, we access great hope and power and peace and love in a relationship with God through him. And you might be here, someone who is new to the Christian faith, just looking in, exploring things. We hope this is a great series for you, and actually just to show God has got a lot to offer you. God wants to help you. God wants to draw near to you and be with you through the difficulties in your life, in the good things and the hard things. But if you're a Christian here this morning, maybe you've been a Christian for a while, these are things to turn back to remember. They're really all about actually coming back to God, kind of as we've been thinking about this morning. God, who is greater than it all, coming and trusting him again with whatever's happening in life. Coming weeks, we've got I'm Not Good Enough, thinking about sense of failure, shame, guilt, I can't afford it, about money, I'm not well, health, and I'm lonely. Speaks for itself. This week, we are thinking about this, this question, this thing that you might say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It's about decision making. It's about that sense in life where maybe we face daily dilemmas. Maybe you face daily, maybe every day at several points in the day, you are thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Maybe for you, it's difficult to make decisions about what to do today, what to eat, what to wear, what to buy. For others of us, perhaps this kind of statement might come up more when we're facing bigger things that might throw us. Moving house, changing job, medical treatment, starting a relationship. Maybe it's when you move into a new kind of territory of life where you've just not been there before. Becoming a parent for the first time. Experiencing new health problems. Starting a new job. Starting to care for elderly parents. Maybe you just think, actually, I want to know what am I supposed to be doing with my life, just in general? What am I meant to be doing? Maybe decision-making doesn't faze you at all. Maybe it should do. Maybe you're the kind of person who thinks, yeah, I don't worry about it. I just get on and do it. And maybe there's a lot to be said for that, isn't there? Maybe other people around you are thinking, are you sure you're always doing the right thing there? But it can be stressful. It can be difficult. But the Bible has got some great teaching for us. In fact, there's whole bits of the Old Testament that are called wisdom literature. And it's wisdom in the Bible is about how to live the good life, how to live right, how to make good choices, how to live well. And I thought we'd look at some verses of wisdom from Proverbs, Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This morning, and you may know these verses well, you may have heard them before. For some Christians, these are very special verses that you keep coming back to. If you're really familiar with them, let's just, you know, I'm fairly familiar with them too, but actually just thinking again, digging into them in the last few days, it's really helped me, and, let's take a fresh look at them, if you like, if you're familiar with them. So, let me read them for you. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. In fact, I was in a little bit of a dilemma with this one about, just to say, in this series, Rich has set it up and said, well, you can choose. Here's the subject. Here's a few ideas. You can choose which verses you use. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. I spent a few days thinking, I don't know which verses to choose. And actually, there's loads of things I could choose. There's so much more I could say this morning. There's so many more bits of the Bible we could look at about decision-making and guidance in life. So if you're thinking, what about that? Well, there is a lot more to say. If you're in a Connect group, you can talk about that maybe. You can talk to me afterwards. You can talk to anyone else. But these go some way towards thinking, what should be at the heart of our decision-making and direction in life? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So if we want to live the good life, first of all, we need to trust in the Lord. Now, that's something that we hear a lot in church. Trust in the Lord. The Bible says it a lot. Someone asked me over the summer, what do we mean? In fact, one of our teenagers said, what does it actually mean to trust in the Lord? And someone might have said this to you when you're facing a dilemma or a difficulty in life. Oh, you need to really trust. I think you really need to trust God in this. Or I'm really trusting God for that. You might hear someone say, what does that mean? How do we do that? But really, the verses that follow that line in Proverbs 3, verse 5, and actually, if you have time, have a look at some more of Proverbs chapter 3. It's great, actually. I was thinking, shall I go a bit further? There's so many good things that really expand out on what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And trusting, first of all, I would say it means actively relying on. I'm just going to grab a chair. I haven't really planned this properly, but it's something that people talk about. Like they talk about, every time you sit on a chair, you're putting your trust in that chair, aren't you? Now, we obviously don't think about it at all. Now, if I was going to say, like, I'm going to stand on this chair, you might think about it a little bit more. You might think, is it going to give way? Some of you might have tried standing on a swivel chair. You think it'll be fine. I'll just change that light bulb. Standing on the swivel chair. You have got to think, is this going to work? Am I going to hurt myself? Is the chair going to give way? We've got a few antique chairs at home, and you really do have to be careful on them sometimes. They don't give way, but they do sort of fall apart a little bit. And this is falling apart as well. The microphone. Right, hopefully it's still working. I've broken it. But trusting means actively relying on. You can't really say you trust God until you've really sort of lent on him. It says, lean not on your own understanding. We need to lean on God. We need to put our weight onto God, the weight of decisions, the weight of life, to actually turn to God, do what he says when it really matters. I had quite a sort of scary experience. It's supposed to be fun, but it was fun, but it was scary as well, going to a climbing center, climbing wall. I don't know if any of you have ever done them. You've probably seen them. And there was a sort of very clever system they had there where you have a harness on and you clip onto this rope. And as you climb up, it takes up the slack. And then when you get to the top, you throw yourself backwards and it just gently lets you down to the floor. Well, I mean, you're seeing other people do it, but when I first started, I was like, am I actually clipped in here? I'll go up about 30 centimeters, jump back just to check it's actually working. But throwing yourself backwards from about 30 feet up, it takes a bit of faith in the rope, faith in the mechanism. And that's really what we're talking about, in a way, if that helps you at all. When we're trusting in the Lord, We're not just sort of thinking from a distance, yeah, it's probably a good idea to live life God's way, listen to the Maker's instructions for life. We're saying, oh, I'm going to do this. I don't believe it is taking a risk to trust God. But you may have to say, actually, to begin with, yeah, I'm going to take a risk here. This could go wrong if I choose to do this that God says, not this that my friends are saying, or this that I would normally have done before. I'm going to lean my weight on God. I'm going to rely on and put into practice what God says in the Bible. I'm going to make choices that matter. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to depend on what you say about how I use my time, my money, what I do with my career, my job, my body, my relationships, my commitments. This could go spectacularly wrong if you're not right, Lord. But that's what it means to trust in God. I mean, trusting, we don't always, you can examine the chair and check that it's sort of all done up properly and the steel is strong and things like that. And there are good reasons, things that I could mention now, but we haven't got time for. There are lots of good reasons to believe that we can trust God, that he's there, that Jesus is alive, that he really did rise from the dead. There's lots of things that we can investigate. Say, yeah, I can trust God. We can hear the testimony of other people who have trusted in God and it's worked. There are good reasons to trust God, but it means putting your weight on him, actively relying on him. And trusting in the Lord is trusting in the good promise-keeping God, amongst other things. Trusting in the good promise-keeping God. Whenever we see, you may know this, but whenever we see Lord in capital letters, it's kind of small capital letters in most of our English Bibles. Whenever we see Lord in capital letters in the Bible, it's talking about not just God, but it's something about who God is, who God revealed himself to be. Listen to this from Exodus 34. God reveals himself to Moses as the Lord like this. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's the God that we rely on. That's the God that we can lean on. The God who is compassionate and gracious. The God who is slow to anger. Who is abounding in love and faithfulness. The God who is for the many, not the few. The God who forgives. This description of God's character, it was ultimately seen most of all in him coming in the person of his son Jesus, as he had promised to. God and human, but more than human. Jesus was compassionate and gracious to us, even though we have made countless mistakes, countless wrong decisions. We have not lived with trust in the God who made us. None of us has trusted God with all our hearts all the time. But God made a way. God made a way for our wickedness, our sin, as the Bible calls it, our rebellion against God, to be forgiven. Jesus paid for these things on the cross. He paid the penalty through his death on the cross. And he's opened up the way for all of us to experience his love, his compassion, his grace, his faithfulness, as we put our trust in him to forgive us, and we put our trust in him to guide us, to lead us in life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Have you done that? Have you begun to do that? It's not just something that we do once and that's it. That's how the Christian life begins, putting your trust in God, trusting God to forgive you and trusting God to guide you. Are you keeping on living? If you're a Christian, is that what being a Christian means to you? Is that a central part of being a Christian to you? Trusting in God, leaning on him each day with all your heart. And he can be trusted. He can take the weight. He can take the weight of guiding us through the ordinary and the big and the extraordinary decisions of life. Trust in the Lord's. But let's just go on and look a little bit more about what this looks like in practice. As I said, it kind of goes on, the verses go on and expand a little bit about what that means. Secondly, by trusting in the Lord, it looks like relying on his wisdom. Rely on his wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Where'd you go for advice? What are your kind of trusted sources? I guess it depends what it is, doesn't it? Whether it's relationships or money or health or DIY. Maybe you go to a good friend. Maybe you go to a family member. Maybe you go to books. Some of you still have books you go to. Encyclopedia Britannica, anyone? Can't even say it. But YouTube, very useful these days. Maybe you don't take any advice. Maybe you know everything. Some people do, don't they? Or at least you think, I'll try and figure this out on my own. But at the end of the day, I guess we decide, don't we? We decide. The decision is ours, isn't it? It ultimately comes down to our own decision, our own understanding, to say, actually, I'm going to take that. I'm not going to take that. I've heard these different things. I'm going to do this. Or I'm not going to do anything, which is a decision, isn't it? But trusting in the Lord, we're told, means not leaning on your own understanding, not being wise in your own eyes, but relying on God's wisdom. If we want to live the good life, if we want to make good decisions, human wisdom, it's never enough. Whether it's our wisdom, whether it's someone else's wisdom, yeah, it may go so far with helping us with finances or job choice or buying a product. And the Bible is not about rubbishing all human wisdom, of course. God, through his grace, many people can give us great advice, even people who don't know God. But it's not enough, is it? It's not enough, and it's certainly not enough for the things that really matter in life. You know, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? How should I treat people? What should be my goals and priorities in life? We need the wisdom of God. And we need the wisdom. Where do we find the wisdom of God? Primarily, we find the wisdom of God in his word, in the Bible. Psalm 119 says, your word to God, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. In the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know what you're like at reading the instructions for a product. In fact, you'd be hard-pushed to find instructions for many things that you buy these days. You think, where are the instructions? Well, you do if you're an older person, or someone like me, relatively older. I always look around for the instructions, and like maybe they're online, maybe they're just nowhere. Well, in fact, if you do find the instructions, what you tend to find is the first half of it is all about safety instructions, about stuff that you would never do anyway. Just the manufacturers trying to cover themselves, I think. Do not use this hairdryer in the bath. You know, do not, chainsaw, do not use indoors. You know, it's stuff like that. But God, and it's a bit of a cliche, but people say this, and I think it's helpful. God still provides maker's instructions. As Christians, we believe God made us. We may have different opinions about how he made the world and how he made people. But the Bible's very clear. God made us for a purpose to know him and to carry out his purposes on earth. And he gives us the maker's instructions in the Bible. Now, again, loads more I could say, but if you're someone here, you're thinking, I'm not really sure this book you're claiming is from God is from God at all. It was God's word inspired, human authors inspired by God to write. Come on the Alpha course if you're interested in talking about things like, can we trust the Bible? But a big reason for trusting that the Bible is God's word is that it works. Since my mid-teens, when I became a Christian, I've tried to live by the wisdom of God's word in the Bible. My life hasn't always gone smoothly, but I have never concluded it's because God has got it wrong. In the Bible, I'm the one who goes wrong. And I need to keep coming back to God's wisdom. That's why I try and read a bit of the Bible every day, because without it, I'm just going to go off course. I need to keep hearing bits of God's wisdom, whether it's long passages or just verse for the day or whatever it might be. I need to stay on track. We all do. And God's wisdom in the Bible, it makes sense of the world. It makes sense of what's wrong with the world, why things are the way they are. It speaks about what God plans to do about the problem and what he has done in Jesus. God's wisdom says, actually, what's wrong with the world? I am. I am part of the problem. I have turned away from God. I need the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. It says I can know God personally, that he's got a purpose for my life. It teaches me about how to live in a way that honors God, how to handle my money, my tongue, my friendships, when people wrong me, etc. Now, many of us read the Bible, hear it in church, maybe it pops up on your phone, a verse for the day. But are you relying on God's wisdom? Are you relying on it? Are you living by it? Is it just kind of nice to know? Or actually, are you turning to the Bible when all else fails, when you've completely run out of ideas? When your wisdom, when everyone else's wisdom doesn't seem to be working? Or is it your top source of wisdom? Wisdom to live by. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but rely on God's wisdom. It's central to trusting in the Lord with all your heart. But also, this is key as well, submit all your ways to him. Verse 6, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. When it comes to decision-making in life, and where we turn when we've got a dilemma, we're all going to be picking and choosing where we get our advice from, but we also pick and choose which areas of life we want advice in, don't we? Some of the things we're very, very happy to admit, I don't know what I'm doing with this, you know, I can't use a computer, can't use the washing machine, I'm just talking about my dad. But other things, no, you're not telling me about that. No, I know all about that. No, don't try to give me advice about that. And we can be like that. We can treat God in the same way. We say, yeah, okay, thank you, Lord, for your wisdom about relationships, but I'm not really interested in what you've got to say about money. Thank you for telling me about being generous, but I'm not interested in what you've got to say about forgiveness. And we can pick and choose where we feel we need God's help. Or maybe we think, well, that's not really a spiritual area of life. I don't need God's wisdom. I don't know. I'm sure he's got nothing to say about that. But notice it says, all your ways. Notice the alls. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, submit to him. In every part of life. Church life, family life, business life, personal life. All your heart, all your desires, all your ways. Even things that might not seem to have much connection with God, we need to submit them to him. Let's say playing sports, for example, something I should do more, or exercising even, at least. Playing sport, you will not read a Bible verse that tells you about how to score more goals in football or how to serve better at tennis. But you will find wisdom from God principles in his word that will help you if you play sports. How to be a more encouraging teammate. How to handle the disappointments and losses and injuries that come, well, when you play support, when you play sport, or maybe when you support certain football teams. Maybe how to work out. Is sport getting too important to me? Am I too bothered when my team lose or I play badly? What does God's wisdom say about how can I make the most of every opportunity to shine and so point people to Jesus at the gym or the sports club? We want the wisdom of God in the Bible to affect every part of our lives. We don't want to have closed off sections, rooms, however you might imagine it in your life. No, that one's locked, Lord. You're not going in there. No, we need to submit all of our ways, all of our areas of life to him and say, Lord, give me your wisdom. I want to dig into your word. I want to find out more. But we also submit our ways to God as we pray. Submit them in prayer. Now, as Christians, we know that central to our relationship, God is talking to him in prayer. But again, we can be quite selective about the kind of things that we pray about and that we ask God for help in and that we ask that he might help us live well in and honor Jesus in and make good decisions in. And I don't know about you, but I'm particularly in danger of that. When it's something that I feel fairly confident doing or I've done many times before, dare I say it, preaching. And to my shame, there are times when I'm cracking on with the sermon prep and I'm reading the books and I'm thinking of what's in my, you know, how I understand this passage already and what I might say. I'm thinking, I haven't really prayed about this. I haven't asked God to help. And more wonderfully, God is gracious. He doesn't always wait for us to ask. He's there helping us. He's so gracious like that. But actually, you know, do I only, when I'm preparing to preach, do I only pray when I get stuck? When all the books and the sermons that I copy off other people and websites? No, I don't. When just nothing is working, oh yes, I need to pray. I need God to help me. We need to commit every part of our life to God in prayer. Whether we need to make a decision or whether we're just doing what we always do, committing each day to God in prayer, it's a good thing to do. To wake up each morning or when you're having your breakfast or whatever you do, to say, commit the day to the Lord. Talk to God about the things that you're going to do. There'll be things that are unexpected, I'm sure, as well. But we want God to be glorified in all that we do. It's also not just about what we do as well, is it? It's about our attitudes, our motives, about the results of things that happen that we can't always foresee. How do we pray? How do we pray about decisions that we need to make, dilemmas, things when we don't know what to do? Pray for wisdom. Now, there's more we could say about this, but this is a very key one. It's very, whoever pointed this out to me many years ago, it's so helpful. Pray for wisdom. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, and this is written to Christians who were in testing times. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I do like to pray for wisdom. I like to pray that for other people as well. We pray that God would give us wisdom to make decisions that honor God, that build up others, that build up the kingdom of God. It might be, how does that work? We pray for wisdom. What might happen next? Well, the Holy Spirit might remind us. The Bible says that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he reminds us of truth. Helps us understand the scriptures as well. It may be that the Holy Spirit just guides us a bit of the Bible that we weren't even that familiar with, or reminds us through someone else. We need one another for wisdom as well. Maybe that God uses the advice of a friend to help us. And that is an important part of our role as brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage and support one another. Maybe God's wisdom might come through you to someone else. It might even come through you in the coffee time in about 15 minutes. Be open to that. God leading you. But it's just worth saying this. There's probably more, again, probably more I could say on this, but we mustn't always think that there's a right and wrong decision before God. That's not what the Bible teaches. Yes, there are some things that the Bible says, yes, that would be wrong. God knows that that's wrong. He knows that's not good for us. It's not good for other people. The Bible calls it sin. And the Bible is reasonably clear about that. And sometimes we do need one another to point out, to gently point out, actually, I think God doesn't want you to do that. That's not what God wants us to do. We may be unaware. We may be a new Christian, and we're just unaware that the Bible has anything to say about that area of life. Maybe we are just choosing to ignore what God says. Maybe someone needs to say to us, actually, have you seen this? What do you think about that? Look at this bit of the Bible together with me. But there are many decisions that are really more about wisdom than right or wrong. And there are things where perhaps it doesn't really matter. God doesn't really mind. The Bible does talk about God having good plans for us, has got a path for our life. We don't necessarily know what that is. But God has got plans, the Bible says, to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future when we put our trust in him. But the Bible doesn't teach that we have a series of decisions before us each day, and we need to choose the right one, A, not B. And if we don't choose, if we choose the wrong one, oh, I'm just going a little bit away from what God really wants for my life. Oh, and I've gone a little bit further away, and I'm onto plan C and D and E, and I'm just moving further and further away from God's best for me. And every time we choose the wrong job, the wrong house, the wrong car, the wrong husband, we move further and further away from God's best life for us. And I say this because I know some Christians, that's what they believe, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Mercifully, the Bible doesn't teach that. I would be on God's plan Z by now, or whatever comes after that. We all make many mistakes and commit many sins. And if it was really down to us, then we would be well away from what God wants for us. But actually, God's plan in general is that we grow to be more and more like Jesus, that we live fruitful lives for him and his kingdom. And wonderfully, our sins, our failures, they are no barrier to God using us, working through us, even unwise choices that we have made. Isn't that wonderful? We are not limited by our past, what we've done. God can redeem everything that has happened in our lives and even the things that we have done wrong. It's not done for now. That's the promise here. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, you're probably wondering when I was going to get to it. He will make our paths straight. It's not saying that life is always going to be easy, but as we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, as we rely on his wisdom, not our own, as we submit all our ways to him, he will keep us on track, if you like. Won't always be an easy path, but it will be the right path. He will guide us through. He will help us keep going in the right direction. He will guide us to be more and more fruitful, to be more and more like Jesus, and to do the things that he wants us to do in life. Well, let me pray, and the worship team are going to come up. We're going to sing a song about trusting in the Lord. But the worship team want to come up while I pray. Let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment in quiet. Perhaps just to say to the Lord, Lord, what are you wanting me to do with this message? How can I trust you more? How can I rely more on your wisdom? Maybe there's a specific area of life that's just sort of coming up to mind for you. How can I help others in the church to depend more on God and his wisdom? How can I commit difficult situations, dilemmas that maybe you're right in the middle of right now? God wants to help you. God is with you. Father, we thank you that sort of your greatest act of wisdom is in the gospel, in your wonderful wisdom of sending the Lord Jesus into our world to die, to save us and rise again. Lord, thank you. Lord, it seems foolishness to many people, but Lord, it's a wonderful, wise truth and message. Thank you for all you have done to open the way for us to come to know you and then to walk with you, know your direction for our lives and your wisdom and your guidance. Thank you, Lord. Help each one of us. Help each one of us wherever we're at with this subject, with this message. May we not forget all about it and go back to our own way of doing things. But Lord, may it go deep into our hearts what it looks like to trust you with all our hearts, in all our ways, every day. Amen.